Thanks so much for joining us today. Our hope and prayer is that God will use this message powerfully in your life and that it'll bring you closer to Him. If you'd like more information about our church, or if you'd like to hear more messages, you can visit vibechurch.com or download our app. Now get ready to receive a word from the Lord.
With God, there are no little people and no little places. Francis Schaeffer gave a sermon on Moses many years ago, and it ended up being the title of a book. And all of this during the 70s, when the world back then was being turned around and the church didn't get it. Well, now we're many years later in the world of Amazon. We're in the world of bigger and bigger, faster and faster. And if there's a word that's characteristic of our day, it's epic. You want the epic wedding. You want the epic photo. I mean, people falling off to their deaths, trying to get the epic photo, you know. I should try this, right? Just be careful. And it's got to be bigger and better and more amazing than anybody else's. Epic, bigger, and better. And that's the problem with epic. You can never be epic enough. Because epic is only epic until someone else out-epics you. I mean, I was at a wedding in a castle in Spain. And when we go to sit down to eat, at the top of the castle, here comes the bride and groom walking across. I mean, talk about epic. And so then one of our youngest son's cousins decided to go to Jamaica and be married on a beach. That was really epic. So my son goes, he's the youngest. He's like, what do I do now, Dad? You know, I mean, you know, epic is it. And what we kind of forget is that epic is only epic because of the people in the epic. And some of the greatest epic moments are because some unexpected nobody ends up being epic, with millions of views that go viral on YouTube, because it's so human. And in spite of the age of media and technology that we live in, human still matters. And the more we experience technology, the more important it is that we be human. And you know, when it comes to the journey of experiencing God, there's basically two simple parts to it. There's God and there's man. But boy, that's pretty complicated. And talk about epic, that is the ultimate epic. Today we look at the second, you could say, stage, phase in Moses' journey to experiencing God, which helps us to see how we can maybe experience God. And the first experience that you see in this passage is tension. You know, as these guys don't touch their stuff. Right? If I pick up one of these, he's gone, right? I can grab it, you know? And don't even mess with this. Right? How would you like it if I... You want to come? Do you know what it takes to get 10 of these strings perfectly? It takes a lot of, right, tuning. And what is tuning? It's getting the exact point of tension to where these strings are vibrating at the perfect point. And you know, these strings are not like those. Take a look at them. They're completely different. And if you bust one of those, they're not cheap. I would guess, right? I mean, you know, you can, maybe yours are cheap, but, you know, you can spend a wad. I'm not, she just said they weren't cheap. Well, kind of. She didn't buy the best. Hey, pastor, you got to buy her the best, right? Because tension matters. I remember a Nobel Prize, a guy who was nominated, who was one of our professors in linguistics, said, balance is vibration between two points. It's not sitting on the fence. It's moving constantly. These strings are vibrating at a certain kilohertz or whatever you want to call it. And that's what makes the sound. And, you know, all you need to do is bring up a Gibson guitar or, you know, or a Martin guitar and wow, the sound. Because what matters is the sound. And in our experience with God, tension is part and parcel. It's the essence of having an experience with God. You cannot have an experience with God without tension. And that's what we see in Exodus 2. It's all about tension. We left Moses floating in the water in a little basket that his mom made for him. And along comes the daughter of Pharaoh, and we read it here in Exodus chapter 2, verse 5. Pharaoh's daughter goes down to the Nile River. Do you know what the Nile River is? Almost all of us do. They say, you know, they do these tests of, you know, people, kids who ask them where the Nile River is. It's in Russia or, you know. But I think most of us do know it's a pretty important river in the Middle East. And the thing about the Nile River is it's this ribbon of green in a complete and total desert with almost no water every year. And they say, if you think of it, the Nile River, which goes hundreds of miles way up, they spent years finding the source of the Nile. And it looks like a wilted flower, only it's green. And that part of the flower, the wilted flower, is where the delta is, where for hundreds, thousands of years, the water has just built this great big delta of dirt that gets carried all the way from way up in Africa, down to the Mediterranean. And the Nile River is the source of the greatness of the civilization that Egypt develops. And at the point that the daughter of Pharaoh comes and picks up this basket out of the water, well, she doesn't. She has them bring it to her. She's the daughter of the greatest, most powerful man on earth, with the greatest, most amazing civilization on earth, with the greatest science. Wipe away what you think of when you hear the word Egypt. In its day, to say the word Egypt would be greater, with all due respect, than saying the word America. Because there weren't any peers. There was no one like Egypt in the day. She picks up this basket, sealed, and opens it. And what happens? A little baby cries. And the heart of the daughter of the man who has said, throw them in the river if they're a boy. He must have obviously been a boy. Is melted with compassion. Just then, his sister, who's been in the reeds, shows up and says, you need someone? Because the mom goes, he's a Hebrew. As soon as she sees the baby, she knows ethnically he's not an Egyptian. And she says, sure. And the rest is, as you know, history. He ends up being adopted into the family of the Pharaoh. In Acts, when Stephen is talking about this event. Many, many years later, he says, Moses was educated. Paideia, paidos. We get pediatric from that, the pediatrician. He was schooled in the best of the best of the world. You know that the Egyptian astronomers figured out that a star rose, Sirius, rose at a certain point, and 70 days later, they could predict within hours when the Nile would flood and bring with it everything that it brought to be able to sustain the amazing civilization that they had built. And their science had figured it out from astronomy, from a knowledge of watching the water, geometry. Some of you guys are studying geometry. Begins in Egypt because of the Nile River, because of their building the pyramids. That's Moses. He's given the best of the best. Harvard, whatever you want to call it, he's given it all. MIT, he's got the technology, he's got the knowledge, the Sophia. But his mom, for those years she had him, before he went into the king's palace, has taught him. And so, who is he? Is he Egyptian or is he Hebrew? What is his identity? A big word nowadays. Identity. You know, just the words we use. Oh my gosh, you have to be so careful when you talk about ethnicity. And the word you use, the right word, the wrong word, the bad word, the good word. Because it embodies who we are, and don't you dare get it wrong. I mean, a simple word like woman, don't even go there. All right, so we'll leave it there. The tension between Egypt and the Hebrew world. He's embedded in Egypt, but he embodies the whole teaching of his mom. The stories of Abraham, the stories of Jacob, the stories of Joseph that his mom told him. They seem like fairy tales when he's in the greatest, most amazing palace in the world. He's embedded, but he has embodied something that his mom and dad taught him. And community has been built. Who does he relate to? The day comes, it says, when he went out and he saw his brothers, and he sees an Egyptian beating a Hebrew. What happened to him? How did he know that that wasn't right? Something rose in him. That sense of justice and right and wrong was born out of what? Not what he was taught in the palace, because the palace was busy doing it. It stayed with him all those years. He was at home very few years. He was in the palace all those years. But what he learned from his mom and his dad and the community of Hebrews sticks with him. And we can discuss whether he did the right thing or the wrong thing. The scripture doesn't tell us. But he looks one way. He looks the other way. He sees no one. And he kills the Egyptian. The ethnic group from which he has been adopted into. And then, when he sees a couple of Hebrew people fighting, he says, guys, don't do that. And they go, who made you prince or judge of us? Are you going to do to us what you did to the Egyptian? Oh my gosh, gotcha. Oh my gosh, I screwed it up. What do I do now? And he knows he's dead meat. And that leads us to the second experience, loss. A loss. There's not a person here who hasn't experienced loss. Loss is essentially part of being human. Some of us have been through terrible, some of us are going through terrible experience of loss. Some of us don't want to talk about it, some of us do. Some of us weep over it, some of us shout over it, some of us are angry about it. Moses flees. But you know the thing about loss? You know that the word in Hebrew for flee sounds just like the word for bless or knee, which is barach. But it's bara without the ch. It literally means to pass through. You know, the thing about loss is you have to own it. You can avoid it. You can act like it didn't happen. You can. But in the end, you've got to go through it to get on the other side of it. And in that darkness, and in that terrible place where that loss, whatever it is so great. He lost everything. He's lost his connection to family. He's lost his position in the greatest, most powerful ruling family of the world. He's lost everything. He literally has his sandals and whatever he has on, and he is running. And you know what? God did not show up like he did when Jacob ran. There's no Stairway to Heaven, you know, Led Zeppelin, Stairway to Heaven, like Jacob got. No, it's silence. Darkness. Do you feel it, folks? It's wonderful to sing Waymaker, Miracle Worker. But oh, is it not fun to live? Because dude, when you're in the middle of it, you don't see the way. When you're in the middle of it, you don't have the miracle. The miracle doesn't happen every day. It's a miracle because they're extraordinary events. They're not everyday events. Well, there are, but you don't think of them as everything. Really is a miracle when it comes down to it, but we don't value it that way. The sun that rose today, that's a miracle. But we don't think of it as a miracle in a secular world. So, in that experience of loss, you use your gift. He doesn't even realize it. He sits down by a well. Seven beautiful girls. Whoa, not bad. Handsome man, unattached. And guess what? Some evil guys show up. And he rises to the occasion and drives them away. He doesn't even realize what that little moment when he used his gift, his sense of right and wrong, his sense of justice. And the dad goes, how come you girls are so home so early? And they go, it's because some Egyptian guy, he doesn't even have a name now. He's the son, literally, of Pharaoh, and now he has no name. He's a nameless Egyptian. Some Egyptian guy helped us out, and the dad goes, and why don't you invite him for dinner? Oh, you know, dads are pretty dumb sometimes. He didn't ask the mom, obviously. I should have known when my future son-in-law bought a U2 CD back when, you know, before those days. You know, they've been married a lot of years. I should have known. You know? The gift. The third thing is, in the middle of all of this, the tension and the loss, that's where faith is born. You know, if you know it, you don't have to believe it. If you see it, you don't have to believe it. Faith is faith because you don't know it, because you don't see it. And that's the problem with faith. To have your faith grow. We all want our faith to grow, right? You know what you're asking God for? Loss, darkness, unknowing. You want a miracle? Get ready for a lot of trouble. Because trouble is how you get to the miracle. It's counterintuitive, I know, as humans. But that's the only way you see the miracle is the bigger the trouble, the bigger the miracle. The worse the darkness, the greater the faith. The more you don't know, that's when you really find out what you really know. And that is where God shows up invisibly. I'm telling you, folks, I've been around. I know it looks like I've been around a while. And in all my years, it doesn't get easier. You know what my dad said? Somebody asked me this week, what's the best piece of marriage advice you could give? I said, my dad at age 90, married almost 60 years to my mom. You know what he said? Every day, I understand her less. And all the women said, amen. And you know why women say amen? Because you know what happens? You know, the way into a woman's heart, I've been married 45 years, so I can talk a little bit about this, is it's kind of like breaking the safe. And you turn it like this, and one ball falls, one and one, and you turn left, and you turn right, you turn three, you turn eight, and finally you open it. And you know what? As soon as you figure it out, they change it. Because if you figure it out, guys, it ain't going to work the next time. You go, da-da-da-da, my password. And all the women said, so guys, if, you know, all the guys want a formula. They want the combination, easy. And women don't even know how to give you the combination. And the, you know, the thing about it is, her combination is not her combination. And her combination today is not her combination next week. Because they want to keep the mystery. They want to be pursued. They don't want you to figure them out. And if they are made, as Genesis 1 says, in the image of God, what kind of a God would make someone like that? For a man who God said it's not good to be alone. And so what does he do? He makes her. Mysterious, unfathomable. You can't figure her out, so he'll spend his whole life with her, trying to figure her out. And I'm sorry, I'm oversimplifying, guys. Guys can be a little bit hard too, but we'll leave that for another day. But guys are pretty easy. Women have it all figured out. We're the ones, they got us figured out, dude. They got the combination the first day and they know how to do it. It's pretty easy, you know, food and a few other things, and we're pretty simple. Right? I mean, you know, it's pretty easy to know the way to a man's heart, most men. But God and faith and your experience with God is more amazing than any man's experience with a woman or any woman's experience with a man. It's in another league. It's in another place. Because God, you will never know. That's why we need whole eternity to just be with him. Because we'll never know everything there is to know. We'll never see everything there is to see. It will always be a mystery. And you know, the theologians tell us that no matter how long we're in heaven, we'll never be able to understand things about God because only he understands those things. And Augustine said, there's a hole in our heart that God put, and it's only filled with God. So Moses decides he'll stay with Reuel, the father of these girls, and he ends up with Zipporah, the daughter. And he has a son, and he names him Gershom. Sounds a little bit like Gershwin, but it's Gershom. And he named him that because the text in Hebrew says, Ger. Ger is alien, stranger, weird, foreigner. Ger I became in the land of Nahara, foreignness. You're like, what? That is one of the great statements of faith in the book of Genesis. It starts in Genesis 12 with Abraham, and it moves through, and it all through the Old Testament. Ger, sojourner, verb or noun. It's the outsider, the one who doesn't fit, the one who doesn't have rights, the one who temporarily dwells with us. He's a ger. Do you know where he learned that from? His mom. If you want to understand that word, read the book of Genesis. Look up in your concordance. And then watch how the whole Bible takes this thread all the way through the Bible. I'm not an Egyptian. I'm not a Hebrew. I'm Ger. I'm a foreigner. You know, we have these battles in every country of the world. In Costa Rica, the Nicaraguans. Oh, do Costa Ricans love Nicaraguans? But in Reiner's church, there's a lot of Nicaraguans because they love and accept them. But a lot of Costa Ricans don't want one more Nicaraguan in town. And you know, Paul says it's not about Nicaraguans and it's not about Costa Ricans. It's not about Greeks and it's not about Jews. It's about Jesus. I am a ger. I am an outsider here, folks. And this is the great statement of faith at the end of chapter 2. He's not in the palace, and he's not in his house with his mom and dad. He's in some wilderness, out-of-the-way place, married to the daughter of a priest. Oh, we won't even go there. Oh, my goodness. But he didn't forget who he was. Do you not think his mom taught him every day she could before he went to the palace? Don't ever think in that palace you're a Mitzri, an Egyptian. And you know what? You're not an Ivri, you're a Ger. Because the Levites, that's who Moses' mom and dad are. The Levites don't even end up with an inheritance, a tribe, They're spread all through because they're in the service of God. And Gershom becomes, you'll see, as you read Chronicles and through the Old Testament, what the descendants of Gershom become. Great musicians, great singers and worshipers of God, without a place of their own, because God is their inheritance. So we end with Hebrews 11:24. By faith, this is written to people who are ready to give up their faith. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. What is the pleasure? It's that I am the son of Pharaoh. I am the second most powerful man in the world, and I can do anything I want. So, the last thing, and that's what I love about Hebrews 11, it says five times it uses the word faith when it's talking here about Moses. And the last word is, by faith, Moses left Egypt. By faith, there's nothing about that in Exodus 2. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. What do you mean? Anyways, and then it says, because the one who is invisible, as the one who is seen, he persevered. Are you willing to persevere when you don't see the invisible, unseen God? That is one of the great experiences of God. The experience of not having the experience. The experience of not knowing, and the experience of not seeing. And that's faith. Keep it, brother.
Amen. Tension, manage it. Loss, own it. Faith, keep it. Wow. You know, 10 years ago, we started Vive Church. October 10th will be our 10-year birthday. Woo! And when we came to Columbia to start Vive Church, we wanted to have an epic church. That was an epic message, by the way. No, that was good. That was really good. Really good. And you know, we were doing things a little different. We always, that was kind of like, oh, we just want to do things different. And then all of a sudden, other people were doing things different. And we weren't so different. It's real easy in life to just keep trying to jump from, like Peter said, from epic to epic. And there comes a point where you have to realize that God is in that process. And I don't know what it is you're going through. I don't know what you're experiencing in life, but the older I get, the less I do know. But the older I get, the words that Peter shared and the points that he shared and what we see in the life of Moses rings so true. Grab a hold of that. Don't wait till you're older. Just grab a hold of that and understand that if you want to experience God, you got to manage that tension in your life. Don't avoid it. You can't avoid it. You got to manage it. right in the middle of it. He's right in the middle of your storm. He's right in the middle of the situation that's going on in your life right now. And the loss that you feel, own it. Go through it. Pass through it. And keep the faith. Keep the faith. What a powerful, powerful message, really. Just the insight into the life of Moses is so true for us today. My prayer through this whole series is that you will learn, discover on your own, and not just hear and feel something, because we can feel something on a Sunday morning and it never really affect us, but you take something from this series that will be a foundation for your life. So that when you feel the tension and you experience the loss, and as your faith is challenged, that you'll experience the presence of God, and that experience will just continue to grow. That you and I, that we will be what God created us to be, His people. And we'll be a channel that He can work through. Because that's where we're getting to. That's what we're building up to. That's what happened in the life of Moses. God wants to do something through your life if you'll let Him. When I was younger, I thought I'm ready. You know, I was the youth pastor that knew it all, right? My senior pastor, he didn't know anything. He was old, he was outdated, you know, and it's just the same thing. You know, as the younger versions come along, you just think, oh man, I know how to do it. You realize God's doing something in us. He's doing something in us. He's working His process, and He's wanting to do something through us. Would you stand with me? Maybe you're here this morning. I want to give you an opportunity, because maybe you're here and you say, you know what? I want to put my faith and my trust in God. I believe in Him. I'm here. But I want to put my faith and my trust in Him. I want to accept what He's done for me. I want to begin a relationship with God this morning. I don't want it to just be a knowledge or some belief, but I want it to be a relationship. I want it to be real. I want to be part of His family like we've talked about already. I want to pray for you. I want to help you take that step. It's really simple. The hard work's already been done. God's already provided that. Would you bow your heads with me for a moment and just close your eyes? Can we pray? Father, pray for faith, that faith the size of a mustard seed, just a little faith, just enough to just say, I trust You. Step out and put their trust in You this morning. If that's you, you say, Pastor Randy, I want to put my trust, my faith in God. I want to begin a relationship with Him. Would you just slip up your hand? Would you pray with me this prayer? Go ahead, slip it up. Would you pray with me this prayer? Just let it be from your heart. Just say, Father, I give You my heart. I give You my life. I trust You. I accept what You have provided for me. I accept the gift of salvation. Come on, let it be your prayer. What Jesus did for me, I accept that. And I embrace that. I give You my heart. If you prayed that prayer, welcome. Welcome into the family. Welcome into a relationship with God, into a journey that we are in together. I love what Peter said. We're just sojourners. We're just journeying through this life together. The word church, ecclesia, is called out ones. We've all been called out, and we're journeying together. Father, I thank You. Thank You for your word, your presence. Thank You for Your faithfulness in our lives. God, for strength that You give us. Lord, help us to manage that tension and to push through that loss and to keep the faith. We're going to worship the Lord one more time. We're going to sing and we're going to celebrate Him and just be reminded of who He is. If you'd like to receive prayer this morning, you can just slip out from where you're at and come on over here to my left, your right, by the cross, and we'll be glad to pray with you. Can we worship the Lord together? Can we do that? Come on.
Thanks again for joining us today. We're hoping that this message brought you to life. If you have any prayer requests or if you'd like to connect with our church family, you can email us at info@vibechurch.com or you can fill out the contact card section in our app. We're looking forward to hearing about all the ways that God is moving in your life. And until next time, go bring somebody to life.